One of the biggest weeks in Australian sport, gentlemen. History was made. The first Australian, I think, not just the first woman Australian, the first Australian to win Wimbledon since Yvonne Goolagong. And it was just, I think it is up there with, if not the number one sporting achievement in my lifetime, Ash Barty.
It was pretty good, wasn't it? Pat Cash won in 87.
Oh, did he?
First woman since 1980, Yvonne Goolagong. How good was she? Gee, she's a humble champion.
She's just magnificent.
Yeah.
Just magnificent. Well, the reason
it's
I wanted
to appreciate your champions who can do both. Like Ash Barty can do it that way. Pat Cash jumps into the stand a bit more of an extrovert, but hopefully we get some other young players like a Nick Kyrgios getting there. But well done to Ash Barty and a great Richmond fan.
You're a tennis fan. The thing I loved about Ash Barty, she's got a bit of craft, hasn't she? She doesn't just try and smash it. She's got all the shots and
she's got touch. She's got touch. Where a lot of players these days are just sluggers. You'd be a slugger from the baseline. I don't think you'd have any craft.
I'll tell you this, Ness. I was a professional tennis coach. In all seriousness, by the letter of the law, I was a professional tennis coach. I was paid to coach tennis over in the US.
Really?
Yep, 100%. Hand on my heart. It was at a summer camp. I was a tennis specialist. And I would always teach
I don't reckon
the kids,
you've got any idea how to play tennis.
I grew up playing tennis, and I was powerful. I was powerful. I had a very good forehand. Right. But what I have to do, the bigger, stronger blokes that are a bit slower, your best weapon is the slice.
Slice backhand.
Because it just gives you a bit of time. So just
not
to
only does this
back.
Guy, now he's a tennis coach, he's got three different things that he can get into private school, so scholarships.
Yeah.
He has a nip of scotch every morning when he gets up.
Yes.
What else has he done? There's so much. He could beat me and you in AFL football.
I've retracted against you. I've said that to Richard. But the reason I want to bring up...
You thought that you could beat Rory Lobb in a marking contest.
Did too.
He's just kicked four
in
the weekend.
No, I didn't say Rory. No, I said Taverner.
No. Well, you couldn't beat him either. He's just as good as Rory Lobb.
He's going all right. But Richard, you tweeted out your congratulations to Ash Barty on
very
Twitter,
happy.
Which and you tagged her in it, which, as we know, is pretty. That's nuffy behavior.
Barry likes to attach himself to anybody famous.
Agreed.
At the moment.
Like, and as we said, like, just you're happy to go. That was magnificent. But
imagine,
why put her?
Imagine if he wasn't famous. How bad this guy would be if he wasn't famous.
I'm not going to cop this one. I admit I've been a nuffy most of the year. I do.
Yeah.
Right. But I've got the same management group as Ash Barty, and we sort of are in contact.
I'm glad you bring that up.
So surely I'm allowed to congratulate her.
When I mentioned...
Surely.
Oh, you are. But Matthew. But it's just the people who at somebody and they know that then
that,
everybody else...
That is nuffy. Now, I brought this up, we've got the WhatsApp group where we like to dob in each other's behaviour. Rather than just replying in the group, Richo sent me a personal message. Let's have a look at this. So he replied to me, same manager as Ash, mate, in contact with her all the time, not a nuffy tweet.
That's aggressive.
You're trying to put me in my place.
Can I be honest here? When you said that, I knew it was coming, and I actually knew it was bad deep down.
Yeah.
So I was just a bit grumpy with Hummer. Sorry, mate.
I can't believe it. I got and that's when you go after the individual.
I got
like,
a bit
could
grumpy.
Have just said you got grumpy.
You know why? Because
me as a personal message.
Because I knew that I'd reached into nuffy areas again.
And that was that the only message you sent me privately this week, Richo?
No, I sent one about Richmond.
he gets to a point where he's this affable sort of guy, humble, and takes it in all his stride. But he gets to a point, and if you get him past that point,
which you'd like to do,
he blows up big time.
Well, last night he pulled me up for saying that I wanted to talk about Richmond earlier in this podcast. So he wasn't happy.
Last week.
Hey, last week I said that perhaps it was episode 100.
What was it?
I couldn't find it. I spent 3 hours researching, trying. Within 2 minutes of the episode going live, a listener sent me an image of our iTunes store, episode 110.
It's just doing your research, like that listener did you failed to do.
I don't know how he found that.
That's what Nate does with his Maldives. He does his research.
He does his research. So this is episode 111.
Beautiful.
Now, it's the final countdown. We are heading for September and... Anyone can, the results from the weekend.
I've done the ladder predictor last
You know, time. If you didn't submit your tips.
You've done a ladder predictor.
I did. Well, you know, on the AFL website, you can do the ladder predictor. Oh, I thought, let's find out.
Okay, what have you got? Big boy.
If you didn't submit your tips last week, by the way, you would have got 8.
I know. All 8 of the away teams.
Yeah.
So the Doggies, I've still got them finishing on top.
Yep.
This is the AFL ladder. Melbourne will finish second. The Lions will finish third. The Cats will finish fourth. There's your top four. Pretty predictable. Port will still finish fifth. Swanee sixth. I've got the Eagles still making it. That might be the one that might be a bit controversial. And I've actually got Essendon sneaking in to eighth spot with 11 wins.
So the Fremantle spot in the eight at the moment is, and the Fremantle and West Coast, the two sides in the eight, seventh and eighth at the moment. I don't see the Giants playing good enough footy at the moment to be able to make it. They lost to Hawthorn after being four goals up, and they lose to the Suns.
So who would you
when you're losing games like that, even though they beat Melbourne, you don't deserve to make it. The one who I think can make it with the run, and 3 weeks ago you'd never say this, but is the Saints. Now, if the Saints play the way they've played the last 3 weeks and how aggressive they've been, their defensive part of their game, they can beat anybody at the moment if they play like that. Now, the problem with St Kilda is they don't always play like that. They've done it for 3 weeks. Can they continue to do it? If they play that way, almost have to make it. But
well, I think
they have to win the extra game because of their percentage. So they lose a game with percentage.
I agree with you. They're playing well. But I think I had Port beating them this week at Marvel, which is probably the one. If the Saints win that game, then they can sneak in as well.
I think the Saints can beat Port at Marvel.
Couple of questions from my end of the table. Richo, how did you say controversial?
Is that an acid wash t-shirt?
Controversial?
No, that's not how you said it the first time.
What did I say?
Controversial.
Is that an acid wash t-shirt?
It is acid.
No, it's not an acid. It's called stonewash.
Is that one of them ones where you get hot and it lights up in different colours?
Hypercolour.
No, I was wearing a blue hat and I wanted it to match today. Ooh, so it's the only blue t-shirt.
You think you come to a certain point of your life or your age and you stop wearing your hat backwards? Is there an age where you get to...
He's at right at the cusp of that.
I reckon he's gone past that now.
No, what's wrong with wearing
backwards? What are you, 32?
I don't think hats were ever made to wear backwards, and you can wear them when you're young, but at your age,
what
I think
you?
It's a little bit try-hard.
Really?
Because at the moment, the really, you know, wispy part of your hair is coming through the hat.
I've noticed
and it's
that.
Just not a good look.
Yeah,
mate.
But I know, but I look like Turtle off Entourage when I wear my hat like this.
You do, actually. That's okay.
I'm going to leave it backwards. Just another thing.
I reckon you've got about 6 months left.
All right, I'll take that in front. Another one that I want to play. Now, I know after you've absolutely dressed me down last night, Richo, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but at the very start of the year, I did say this. Now, Richmond, I've been saying this all along. In fact, I said it at the start of the year that they cannot win the flag. Now, surely
you
have
all year,
to
have
agree.
You?
Yes, I have. Am I the Oracle?
That was 3 weeks ago.
That was 3 weeks ago, mate.
Because that's my Parisi shirt, and I only got that 3 weeks ago.
Is so that a Parisi shirt?
No.
You got that from Aussie Disposal.
We've looked everywhere, mate. We have gone back. We've gone through every episode, Nathan, and we can't find a trace of you saying that.
I didn't say it. At the start of the year, I said the rating premiers
would not. You said it 3 weeks ago.
I've been saying it all year. But on Richmond,
you said it after they lost to West Coast.
While it is all doom and gloom on the field and they won't play finals, it is a magnificent achievement of... I want to say one of the more popular, I'm not going to say polarising, popular figures in AFL, well, Jack Riewoldt.
I reckon at one point there he went through a little period where he may have been a bit maligned and polar, but he has turned into one of the
good... Do you begrudge him at all for kicking you out of the
football? Absolutely not. No.
He said that through clenched teeth.
He did.
No, I did move up to the wing because Terry Wallace wanted Jack inside 50. It worked out all right for Jack. Look, Jack's...
It worked out okay for you. You nearly won a Brownlow medal.
It was a good move by Terry. It was a good coaching move. Jack's become an all-time great of the Richmond Footy Club. He now joins the great Francis, but these are all-time greats. These are legends at the Richmond Footy Club. Jack Dyer, of course, Captain Blood. Francis Burke, St. Francis Burke, 5 premierships. And Kevin Bartlett with obviously 400 games. He becomes the 4th Richmond player to play 300 games in the history of the club. That is unbelievable.
What I like about Jack is he's never changed. So when he first walked into the footy club, he was this brash young kid.
Boisterous.
He was loud. He was boisterous.
Confident.
He had a combi van, this purple combi van. And he was complete opposite to Nick. Nick's quite reserved.
Yeah.
Nick quite respectful, whereas Jack, he put people off early days because of how young and brash he was.
But he was being himself.
He's never changed.
Yeah.
He's never changed. He's always been loud, always been boisterous. He lived with me when he first came down. But when you got him home and you got him just around the dinner table,
respectful.
He was very respectful to my family as well. And he's a genuinely good player of the competition. He is a star.
You know what he is, Brownie, I reckon. I reckon as a key forward, you know, you can get key forwards that just lead up, mark,
yep.
Big brutes. Jack's got the footy IQ of a gun midfielder, you know. Yeah. He sees the game beautifully and just one of the best players in the history of the Richmond.
Will he be media or coach post-AFL?
I think he's lining up to do media. He's already
he's good.
He does a lot of work for Fox. But, Nova. Yeah, huge achievement. If you play 300 games, I mean...
But there was a middle part of his career where they got him to change his game and he changed it for the better for the team and
yeah,
probably
did.
Kick as many goals.
He's
and the result
a better player,
was
it though.
Jack Riewoldt, but it was a culmination of things. But he definitely changed the way he played and that helped Richmond win premierships. So
I think he's...
Maybe they changed you too late. Maybe if they changed you mid-career to the wing,
you never know.
You could be a four-time.
You never. The thing I love about him, in 2017, and I think this is his greatest achievement, Richmond, they lose their other key forward, Ben Griffiths, early in the year. They tried Todd Elton, who just, you know, probably wasn't up to it. So Jack had to play as the lone key forward with all those smalls around him, and it actually revolutionised the game a little bit that year. So
I think his greatest achievement was being up with the Killers. I thought that was a defining
that was
moment.
Good. You know
if,
what?
If you're going to be an AFL footballer and win the premiership, how good would it be to go out and sing with the Killers straight after that?
So I think I've told that on this podcast years ago, but before that game, I was standing out on the ground and Jack, the Killers were out there warming up on the ground, you know, when the players were walking around, and he walked past me and I said, you know, good luck today, Jack. He goes, I'm going to sing with the Killers after the game.
Oh.
And as he walked off, I went, what's he doing? Is his head in the game?
Yeah.
All he's thinking about is the Killers. And I sort of, anyway.
That's him. He's confident.
Yeah, and they go on and win the game. And sure enough, we were over in the September Club after the game and I'm looking through Twitter and there he is singing with the
Killers.
There
was certain people in the media after that game and post that didn't like that Jack did that. He said it was all about Jack and he should have been in the rooms with his teammates. But
I don't subscribe to that.
Yeah, they're out there watching.
Yeah.
He was up there with the Killers. They've won a premiership. There's
good
a lot
him.
Of people who don't like it when people do things outside the normal.
It's all poppy syndrome.
And Jack is outside the normal.
A good mate of mine who was the coach of our cricket club, Luke Presley, he's best mates with the Riewoldts. We had a classic raffle where you did the 1,000-beer raffle. Now, and you draw it, it's the last one out is the one that takes the 1,000 beers.
The
now,
one
this
they
thing,
used to have at the Hawthorn Footy Club with Peter Everett.
That's the one he rigged, yeah.
No, well, he didn't. You can't say that.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was proven.
I don't think you can say that.
I'm in enough
take
trouble.
It,
it doesn't matter. I'll take it back. Anyway, this was a slat, like an entire pallet stacked to the ceiling of beers. Like 1,000 beers, it's 80 slabs. Yeah. It's a
what
lot
sort of beer?
VBs. Mm. He gets a call to say he was down the last 15, rushes down to the cricket club, doesn't know anyone at the cricket club, but just bought a stack of tickets. He ends up winning it, and rather than taking, you know, there was a truck there to deliver all the beers to his house, he said, no, he carried out one sub of EB, donated the rest.
That's Jack.
That's good.
Good bloke. Saved the cricket club as well that year. How about the Swans? They're beating the Lions, the Cats, the Dogs. Can they win the last game of September?
I don't think so. But, gee, they played a good game on the weekend, Brownie. You did the game on Triple M. I reckon on the weekend they went in with a game plan that clearly they wanted to take the ball off the Swans and hold onto it with marks and kicks and uncontested marks. And the Dogs just didn't adjust. So they're well coached. They've got some great young players. I think they'll finish outside the top four. I don't think you win from the bottom four.
Dogs are a couple of good players down. Obviously, Aaron Norton was out. But I thought it's the second time clearly from a good side that Luke Beveridge has been out coached, so I thought that the way they set up, the way they held their wingers on the outside, you think Florent kicked the goal in the first quarter and had another shot. Then Dawson kicked three goals. They held their width on the wings.
Yeah.
The Dogs players went in, and I thought that they were really well coached by John Longmire.
Yeah. No, they're a good team, but I don't think they finished top four, which means you don't win, really.
A couple of jobs in AFL land vacant. One, of course, is the coach of the Collingwood Magpies. The other is the GM of Footy Ops, Steve Hocking, going to be the CEO of Geelong. Who do we think is going? Because it is a very, in terms of all the top dog roles, this is probably the one's got the most outwardly sort of operations that the fans see.
You get judged very critically, and we've all judged Steve Hocking and some of the rule changes, so it's a big role. I think Brad Scott will get it. He's already at the AFL, looking after the community league.
Will he be good?
Yeah, I don't know. How would I know? But I think he's the favourite, isn't he?
You'd think he'd be the favourite. A player that we played with, now we know him really well, and a lot of people wouldn't see him because he's not in the media a lot, is Wayne Campbell. So Wayne Campbell did a lot of good stuff.
Is he still umpire's boss?
He was the umpire's boss.
He was the umpire's boss. So he did assistant coaching the Bulldogs, Richmond, umpire's boss, went up to the Giants, probably didn't get along 100% with the main man up there, so parted ways. But I think how strong he is, very similar to Steve Hocking. Doesn't suffer fools. No. Very, very smart, Wayne Campbell.
And he'd be prepared to make hard decisions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you asked him if he'll take it? Because we've got
he's got a good footy.
We've got a market up on it.
Have you asked him?
Why? No, I haven't.
No.
What? Okay. If you were, if there was a shock announcement that Matthew Richardson was taking over the role, what's the first thing you'd change?
Oh, the first thing I'd change is I'd wind back some of the changes they've already made. But just hold your ink on that. We might be looking at that.
What would you change, Brownie?
Are we doing this segment now, are we?
Well, that's in the rundown.
Okay.
Who replaces Steve Hocking? Yeah. If the boys were GM of footy ops, what would they change?
Why are you holding fire?
Because something's doing my head in.
Oh, you got something else.
So wait till then.
Do you read any further advance?
He doesn't look at the rundown.
Sheet than the one...
When he said, no, I might just hold, I must have thought
because you knew
later.
You knew it's his own segment.
I see the mistake. Okay. Wait till I do it and then you can come off it.
Oh, so we ask...
Well, it's still something. Well, do you want me to do my head in now?
No, we'll get to it. All right, new segment that came in last week, very, very popular.
Too.
Extra, read all about
it. Is this your idea?
Tommy Medalis, one of our producers. If you are new to the show, listening at episode 111 for the
Tommy?
First time.
I haven't seen him.
He's having a kid. He's having a kid.
Oh, well done. Might be a good reason, Nate.
Well, so basically, I'm going to read a headline.
I've got four. I'm still here.
These aren't actually headlines this week. Tommy's sort of dropped the ball a little bit and just grabbed the first four things that he saw.
Righto.
Loosely related to AFL. So they're a bit longer this week. I'm going to read them out. You tell me who they're speaking about.
Okay.
I think they really need to invest in some youth to their midfield to do similar to what Fremantle have done, try to get as many elite midfielders through the draft.
Matthew Lloyd.
Who's he talking about?
And who's
about?
He talking about?
He's talking about... Hawthorn.
I was going to say Kane Corns, and is he talking about Richmond?
Oh, if we'd combined your answers together, this is Kane Corns on the Hawthorn midfield.
Right. We got a bit of both. 50%
right. 50%.
They said that on the show I was on. I probably should have known that.
I don't know if there's a spot for him in the midfield, even though he's the captain and very highly paid.
Well, that's clearly they're talking about Trent Cotchin. And I think it might be our mate Kane again.
Kane.
I'd have to go. The only other one it could be is Stephen Cornelio. Someone might be calling him, but let's go with Cotchin.
And Kane?
Yeah.
Cornelio and Matthew Lloyd.
Mm. Oh, my show again.
Well done.
Just get there.
Jeez, he watches the Sunday footy show, Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy Medaglia.
At the moment, he's in the top three in my Brownlow tracker.
Well, that's... our man over here.
And I reckon I'm talking about Took Miller, who would have got three votes again down in Ballarat on the weekend, and he's flying.
He's flying. Well, can't win the Brownlow. Of course, that is
Nathan Brownlow. Seriously, you can't have quotes from NATO. Yeah.
We've got him in the market. He can't win the Brownlow, but we've got him to poll. It comes in and out.
I agree with you.
I don't know if he's full-time.
Took Miller has got coaches' votes now 10 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
How good's that?
He can't win the Brownlow, but we've got him in the market to poll the most votes at $10, Brownie.
Well, at the moment, I've got him one vote behind Marcus Bont.
So he could win.
So I've got Bont on 23, Miller 22, and Ollie Wines on 22.
So, okay, can you just give us a disclaimer, though? Has there been a tinkering of the formula since on the Brownlow from last year?
Yes, there certainly has. So I'm doing it, hum.
Are you following? What? So you got to fight. Do you follow? What do you follow first and foremost?
Footy.
No, but do you have the coaches' votes or is it the Herald Sun votes?
Okay, so I see three games live a weekend myself, my votes. Yeah. And then I rely a little bit and lean on Matty Lloyd and Kane Corns on the Sunday footy show for games that I haven't seen.
Do you rate the coaches' votes?
I do rate the coaches' votes, but I think they'd be different to the umpires' votes. Right. So for an example, let's have a look at some of the votes on the weekend. So does Stephen May vote well? So he's getting a lot of coaches' votes, but
probably
do the umpires vote for Stephen
probably
May?
Not.
So that's where I think
would say no.
On the weekend, you know, do they give a two to Oliver or do they give a two to Magus? Petrarca clearly got the three. And then do they give one to Wines, even though probably doesn't deserve it, but he had 34 disposals, so he might sneak in for one. Yeah. Ollie Wines,
no,
but
I get it.
Didn't get any in the coaches' votes.
But what the coaches probably give May votes.
But I still look at the coaches' votes, yeah.
Is this going to be public available information come betting time for
Bounty? It certainly is, and I'm going to stand by it, and let's hope it stacks up.
All right, last one before we move on. I just think the 10-year barrier is going to be a big hurdle for him to jump, and there's going to need to be significant success this year or next.
That is, they're talking about Josh Kelly, the 10-year barrier. Oh, jeez. I'm going to go with the Sunday Footy Show because every quote seems to have been offered. I'm going to say Damien Barrett.
Yeah, I'm going to go Damien Barrett too.
The answer is Kane Corns on Ken Hinckley.
Jeez. Well, yeah.
Next week, I promise you, we're going to look outside just for show quotes. You were on that show for all four of those quotes.
Yeah, but I'm not listening to the other guys. I'm thinking about what I'm saying next time.
He can tune out once he's not involved, Nate.
Hey, it's the matchup that has captivated the attention of local footballers around the country. As I said, I've been after a bloke took a mark on me.
They were all barracking for Richo, by the way, all these local footballers.
Yeah, they are. I seem to have a lot of support from the local clubs.
I reckon you'd be polarising. You called Jack Rewalt polarising. So when you play in your competition because you do the sports bet stuff here and you send out all this communications and then you're on this program and, you know, you've got a little bit of fame, a tiny little bit, and I reckon people would think you're a wanker.
I can tell you it's not polarising.
I can tell you now the opposition team rolls up every week and you are public enemy.
I am, and the crowd getting to me, some of the things that get said to me.
So I've got a lot of...
You carry on like a clown out there though, don't you?
Well, I do a bit, but I like it. It's my outlet.
So we've had to put it off.
Are you a bigger version of Hayden Ballantyne, maybe?
Nah, because I'm not a little, you know, I'm not yappy, but I do get involved in every video I've seen you, you're yapping. I get involved in a couple of incidents each game, and the crowd like to get into me, and the crowd are getting into me, or the opponent players are getting into me at the moment about Richo.
He's a showman.
But Richo, It's
off today, mate.
It's off today. There's been another delay, and I'm starting to question...
Yeah, me too.
...whether you are starting to get very, very scared. Because you've got a lot to lose. I've got nothing to lose. I'm a hack div six footballer.
There's a little part of me that I got it wrong slightly from the start. Ooh. I meant to say that I don't think you will take one mark, whereas I actually said... You only have to spoil one ball instead
of one
mark.
That's exactly what you said. You were adamant about it. We shook hands.
There's a little part of me that thinks you may be able to make one spoil, whereas I know you wouldn't mark one. And you know he wouldn't mark one.
I know he wouldn't mark one, but
he might spoil one.
I'm worried about the doubts you're having at the moment.
I've been training.
And you sent us this earlier in the week.
That's 10 Ks down. Be worried, Hummer. You've got me motivated. And when I get motivated, I get scary. It's going to be ugly for you, pal. I might do another 10.
Richo, a couple of questions. One, is there anyone in the gym going, what is this bloke doing?
You know what?
Is Georgie Costanza in there again?
You know what happened? I looked around and there was no one in there, so I got my phone, I set up the camera, and I did what I just did. And then when I finished, I turned around. There was a girl just right behind
Why are you running in a jumper?
Just to sweat
out. How much had you done at that stage?
I've done about 300 metres.
It's
on next week, though.
It is next week, Wednesday. We will finally have an answer. Who wins a Div 6 fullback of the year, which I wasn't even fullback of the year, just a Div 6 fullback against a 285-game Hall of Fame.
282. We had the 282 kids.
That's right. Hey, we're going to go down. Speaking of local footy, because there's a league that we've become very, very fond of over the course of this year. I speak of the North West Football Association down there in Tassie. Now, before we get to our team, Rosemary Turak, how about first and second played off? Fourth has lost.
That's a big upset.
And they've lost top spot. Mott and Preston go top 9-9-63, defeated fourth 8-6-54. Now, so we've got some good mates at Rosemary Turak that love to get us on Twitter. They were giving us live updates. They played second bottom.
That's good for them.
Turners Beach, 25-22, 172. They only lost by 171 points.
You know what? Turner's Beach, a second bottom, still won by 171 points.
There is not a local football side in the country that I have got more praise for and more respect for than the blokes rocking up for Rosebery.
Do you know
Turak
where Rosebery Toorak is?
Well,
it's down on the west coast. It's mining country. You're going to be surprised when we get down there, Hum.
Why?
It's I'm not going to give too much away.
Will there be rough, like a few?
There'll be a few rough diamonds around down there.
Yeah, I'd love to see. Is it a good pub there?
I've never been there, but there'll be a good pub there.
Hey, there was another result that got sent in by a listener. Now, if you just have a look at this, the Tiger Sharks, which I think this is in Perth.
Yeah, this is in Perth.
The Lacroix brothers both played. 38, 32, 260. Belted the home side.
I reckon Mark would be disappointed there.
How many kicks?
Just five.
He only kicked five. And
he kicked 12 in a game. Yeah.
His brother kicked 16.
His brother Brent kicked 16. But I reckon if I'm Mark and I'm making a comeback and I'm an ex-AFL player.
Yeah, you want more than five.
You want more than out of 38.
You want to kick 10 at least.
The Frenchman holds the record at Marvel Stadium.
What did he kick that night?
12 against the Bombers.
That was.
I remember watching that one. Hey,
I'll bring us.
Imagine being the home team and you have a, you know, you're hosting, you get all your crowd, you get all the canteen money, everything like that, and you end up getting done by 280 points because the Lacroix brothers kicked 21 between. It'd be flat as. Hey, Brownie, you love a top five, and this week, probably for the, you know, maybe second or third time this year, you came to us with a segment.
I sure did, huh? I sure did. And that segment is...
Oh, my God.
On the back of the Euros...
Doesn't he love it when he gets a little segment too? No.
I love the Euros the other night. So the penalty shootout was fascinating. I was sitting there watching it with Helena and she was enthralled in it. She just thought it was the most exciting thing. And the heartbreak, the joy, everything that goes along with it. And I've always been an advocate of a shootout style,
penalty
40
shootout.
Metres in AFL football, because that'd be pretty hard. So I asked Richo...
If we had a draw now, you would say a shootout or only for the final?
No, I think for a draw.
Any draw.
I don't see why we have draws. And I think Hutchie went with it last night and I've been going with it for about 3 years, Hutch. But 40 metres out, five shots, you pick your five best. Obviously, if you need a sixth person because you all kick five, but that'd be very unlikely five players kick it from 40 metres out. Someone stands on the mark, obviously. Richo?
What do you think, before we give our top fives, more pressure on it, AFL Grand Final penalty shootout, do you think it would be more pressure to kick a drop punt from 40 or take a penalty shootout in a soccer game?
Well,
the ball's sitting still on the ground.
The variables are against you in AFL. Yeah. The variables are against you.
Yeah.
Well, is there a man on the mark?
Of course there is.
And
why of course?
There's a man on the mark.
There's a man on the mark, man on the mark. Okay.
Where does the man on the mark stand then? Is that where you're measuring it from?
Man on the mark stands at 40.
And can the man on the mark move, or if you got to go with Steve Hocking's new rule, he can't move?
Oh, great question.
Well, the man on the mark can move, but if he goes over the line, like
50.
Any normal.
Can you give away a 50-minute penalty?
Righto.
Okay, so let's go with the top five. We've both got them here.
Who would you have for the man on the mark?
So you've gone, you take us through yours.
Okay, I've chosen Liam Ryan. I just think he's the best set shot in the game. From 40 out straight in front, he don't miss many, Liam Ryan. Toby Green, Nath loves the moment.
Yep.
He wants the ball in his hand. So some people might be nervous taking it.
Yep.
He's not going to be nervous.
He's technically not the best kick.
No.
But he loves the moment.
But I don't think he'd be overawed by the moment. I've gone, now this is a surprise probably, Jordan Dawson, not a known goal kicker, but a beautiful kick. And on the weekend, he had three set shots against the Dogs.
I feel like you've thrown him in there pretty quick after the weekend.
I'm showing faith in a young person. All right. So Jordan Dawson, mate, he had three shots on the weekend. The goal umpire didn't move a millimetre.
Is it a bit Johnny-come-lately stuff?
No. You know what that is? That is a coach throwing it to a young man saying, take this opportunity, son.
Okay.
Son.
And how'd that go?
Hope he kicks it. Taylor Walker, been doing it for a long time. Technically a beautiful drop punt, gets good momentum, and I think he'd like the moment
as well. Goal kicking's been off lately, though.
No, I back him in, the big Texan. And Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, he doesn't miss many.
No, I'm having him as number one. I think he is elite. Both feet. He can do it both feet, but we only obviously want our good foot. Toby Green.
We didn't cross over here. This is three of the same have come up.
Liam Ryan, the same reason. Now, Gary Rowan, I think technically his run-up is perfect. That's why he kicked the winner after the siren from where he did. Yeah, Ben, but you watch him kick from 40 metres out directly in front. Gary Rowan.
I
could have easily had Gary Rowan at number one, and he's done it before. So too is Zach Tui.
He's a half-back flanker.
So the Irishman just...
Zach Tui.
He is, yeah. and he kicks goals. And every time he gets an opportunity to kick a goal, he kicks it. Mentally strong, Zach Tui. And for some reason, the Irish boys, when they come over, they've just got this technique that they have a straight arm.
I agree.
Zach Tui has kicked the winner after the siren before. I like that. I reckon I'll win 5-4.
All right. You know who we might have missed here? And this was brought up to us afterwards. Mm. I reckon Dave Mundy's.
Yeah. Did it against the Tigers.
He's done it a couple of times.
Hey, last week we celebrated an anniversary. You know that?
What was that?
7 years ago to the day, last Thursday, the greatest article in the history of journalism was written. I speak none other than the Daily Mail article. Now, we're going to have this up on the screen for those that are watching. But for those listening, Brownie, I've put in 10 minutes of this show to dissect this article. We're going to go this line by line. Dine and dash. Former AFL player Matthew Richardson shovels food into his mouth as his girlfriend Genevieve Holliday cringes and looks away while walking behind him.
She's so embarrassed. Look at you, you pig. You are a pig. And you're Jerry Seinfeld with your jeans and your sneakers as well.
Can I tell you what's
happening? Not yet.
Right, I'll wait.
No, we're going to dissect this. Okay. A man's got to eat. But when going out for a stroll with a lady may not be the best time. Clearly retired AFL player Matthew Richardson didn't get the memo. The 39-year-old, who is affectionately known as Richo to his fans, was spotted on Monday in South Melbourne scoffing down a piece of meat while his long-term girlfriend Genevieve Holliday was so embarrassed she walked behind him.
What is that? What are you eating there, Matthew?
That is a meat pie, and it was... You know when they get
look,
a bit...
but why is it? No, but listen. Why is it hanging down like a bit of spaghetti?
See how I've taken it out of the tray there, the meat pie.
It's a square pie.
You know how they get a bit soggy and they break. I had to get it in quickly. It was falling apart.
That would have blown your mouth off. Was it hot?
No, it wasn't that hot.
You still got that hat?
Yeah, I have got that hat.
There's a picture. The caption. No, we'll get through it. Then we can address your concerns. The picture. The caption on the picture. Hungry much? Former AFL player Matthew Richardson's. Oh, it's just the same crap. here we go. There's another one. Chewing with his mouth open, with his angular jaw hanging open. The handsome former Richardson player lowered the food into his mouth.
I don't mind that. That's a good line. Thank you.
Man's got to eat. The former sportsman shoveled the food into his mouth as he walked in the sun.
Hey, you just had an argument or something, or is it just because of the pie?
I'll tell you in a minute.
With his angular jaw...
It's filthy with you. Have a look at her.
Hey, look at your mouth there. With his angular jaw hanging open, the handsome former Richmond player lowered the food that looked like a piece of chicken into his mouth. Now, how could you possibly mistake that as chicken?
Well, that's not my...
No, as a journalist. Fault. I know.
Like, I know Jen well. What is this? And I can tell when Jen's pissed off.
All right.
Who is this chump, right? We haven't finished. Just last paragraph. I just want to understand how some chump journalist could mistake that for chicken. It was clearly a pie. You were holding a pie tray. What fried chicken comes served in a little square aluminium plate? He also enjoyed some dipping sauce to flavour his grub in a small silver metal dish that he held onto tightly. Again, this journalist, I hope, has been sacked. Chewing with his mouth open didn't at all bother Matthew, but it clearly annoyed Genevieve.
All right.
And that's it. All right.
So
your retort.
A few things they got wrong there. It was a meat pie, not chicken.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday morning, not a Monday morning. Okay.
Oh.
And we live in Elwood, so it wasn't South Melbourne. And it was you know the bakery in Elwood. Yeah. You know on the roundabout of Ormond Road. So we'd had a party the night before, a friend's engagement party. We were horrifically hungover. So we've gone down to get a pie.
Did you only get one pie?
I had a pie and there was a couple of sausage rolls. Jen was holding them in the bag there. And we did have a blue on the way down there.
what did you have a blue about?
Probably about my head being upside down the night before.
So the night before, you'd taken your head off.
The old upside down.
Let's just have one last look at Jen and how upset she is. Filthy with you, Matthew.
Isn't she?
She was ropeable. But when
with
this,
good reason. Have a look at you.
When this came out.
Look at have a look at you.
I know.
She's embarrassed to stand next to you.
I'm a pig, I admit it. But when this came out a few
days... looking for somewhere to wipe your hands,
I know, I didn't have a server yet.
You've still got that hat. That's
A few days later when that came out, we're like, why have we been packed, right? Like, it just didn't make sense, right? On a Sunday morning, we're hungover. Natalie Bassingthwaite lives just around the corner. They were looking for her, and that obviously they couldn't find her. So
you secretly liked being papped, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is this what's kicked off your thirst for fame and social media?
7 years later.
I got a feeling that he might have tipped him off.
7 years later, I haven't been papped again since.
Hey, Brownie, we were alerted to something. I don't want to say concerning, but...
Well, you're alerted to because I gave it to you.
No, I knew about it.
We don't have to set, like, we can set up.
How else would you get inside
my
mum's
house? I don't know, but I was going to set up that someone else had sent it. You just ruined it.
I was tipped off. I was tipped off.
I had written how we were setting it up as well.
Nathan went home recently to Bendigo and
he ruined it.
He rediscovered his shrine.
His brand's got a shrine.
At home
he filmed
in Bendigo.
It and sent it. Let's have a look. I can't believe
this
it.
Is at mum's house.
So, for those listening, it's
look at the cheeky little bugger there.
There's been a shrine dedicated to Brownie.
That's when he started really rating himself. That one there, is when he really started.
There's
rating.
Eight photos in a row.
That look at the
Victoria
blonde tips
country.
There.
Look at the hair. Canberra on the background. Vic Country. There's the Australian team.
You've even got the Vic Country shots up.
Well, I didn't put
them
up.
Oh, it keeps going.
I didn't put them up, God, you're going across the other wall.
There's Libba. That's from the article we did where I was doing a VB cancel 5
a.m. in the
morning.
Is that when you're going through your surfy face?
Yeah. Look at that one with the weights.
Yep. And there we go. That's.
Can we go back? Look at that one there, the surfy face.
So for those listening, we've just seen the shrine.
Hummer, the funniest, I've got it. This is a man that grew up in a landlocked Bendigo, right? Had never been to the ocean, right? Yet he's got all the surfing gear on.
Mate, Lake Epilock was massive back there.
That is nice. To be honest, I wish I had done something for my parents to dedicate a shrine to me. Mm. But there is absolutely nothing on the walls. All right, Richard, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Oh, I love that shrine. Is that in the office or where is it? It's not in the lounge room, surely.
Nah, it's in a garage.
Oh, it's in the garage. But you know what's doing my head in?
What, Matt?
The old chestnut. It's come up again. It's come up early in the year, and I don't know why it's come up again. But Chris Scott wants shorter quarters, and he brought it up earlier in the year. He's brought it up again, and now a few journos have jumped on board. Why do we want shorter quarters? We had them last year, didn't we? Shorter quarters.
Yep, and they sucked.
Was the game better?
No,
it was horrible. We had games where teams were scoring 32 to 34 and winning the game. There's less goals than ever. Why do we want shorter quarters? In fact, the last month, rounds 14 to 17, teams have averaged 71 points. That is the lowest since 1966.
Oh.
So why do we want shorter quarters? Don't we want more goals? So why are we promoting shorter quarters? No, we don't want them. The players don't want them. I heard Big Maxi Gorn on radio the other morning. The players don't want them. He loves the war of attrition. You're fitter than your opposition. You run games out. The game's been 20 minutes and time on for a long, long time. We don't want shorter quarters.
Why might one particular coach want it?
Maybe Chris wants it because his team is getting a little bit older and maybe he thinks they're not running out quarters as well. I don't know why, but... We don't want shorter quarters.
I don't think there should be shorter quarters, but I'll tell you what is something that I've noticed, and it could be an underlying issue with our man here, Richo. Now, do you have an issue with the Scott brothers?
No, I don't have an issue.
Because you've had a go at Chris Scott today for here.
No,
right?
I didn't. I just started
the
agree with
at the start of the program.
No, it was Brad.
You had a go at Brad Scott.
No, I didn't. I said he's going to get
He asked, should he be the GM? And you said, I've got no idea, maybe.
I don't know if he's going
to. Yeah, it was like, wasn't a glowing endorsement of Brad, and now you're having a go at Chris. It feels like you had an issue with the Scott brothers.
I think Brad will get the job. How do I know if he's good at his role? I don't work at the AFL.
You're backpedaling now.
Yeah.
I'm scared of the Scott brothers.
Well, you should be.
Oh, I am too.
No, I just don't agree with Chris on shorter quarters. Seriously.
As a fan...
Do you want him as a fan?
No, why do you want the game of footy to go less? Why do you want to be sitting on your couch for less time watching footy?
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. Going back to real crap life.
It's not
going to
happen. Do you think the broad...
Well, like, you know, once the footy's over, you've got to go be in normal. You've got to go back to chores and...
Do you think the broadcasters want shorter quarters? Absolutely
no, no
not.
No one wants it.
They want more goals so they can get more ads in.
End it for good. Nuffy Jar. My favourite part of the Nuffy Jar is that 95% of the weeks we do not need to leave the room.
Yep.
It's not you this week, Richo. It's certainly not me. I don't
it's
do
the
anything
first time
since
this
my
year.
Social media ban.
It's not our mate here, is it?
Well, I haven't posted it.
It is our man that has decided to shop at Aussie Disposals today.
This is a nudie shirt.
Are you going to take us through the shirt?
It's a nudie shirt.
It looks like a hard yakka
shirt. It is a hard yakka shirt. The man with the softest hands in the Southern Hemisphere hasn't had a day's labour in his life and he's rocked up wearing a hard yakka shirt.
Hey, I put the bins out yesterday.
Like a,
look at him,
like
baby's
bum.
Hello. Mr. Hard Work himself.
I've got a callus on that one.
Yeah, look at these calluses. Look at those. Now, they're man hands.
That's from pushing a bit of steel around.
No, from shifting timber and putting up plaster. Now, Brownie.
Tennis coaching, was it?
And some tennis. Well, yeah. I haven't tennis.
Darren Cahill over here.
I've not professionally tennis coached since 2006, and I did it for one summer. Brownie.
Yeah.
You should play him in tennis. After I beat him at marking, you play him in a set of...
Would I steal a game off you?
No.
No. That's right, the next done. Challenge.
That's it. I will take a game
not
off
Not one game.
Done.
I agree with you, Nathan.
All right. Let's shake it. We'll have a series.
That's next. After I embarrass you.
And then after that, you can go and play me in FIFA, and I'll destroy you. Because that's my talent.
Yeah. Okay. Well done.
So what's he done this week?
Brownie, you've got a very prominent media, you've got a very prominent personality and profile within here in Melbourne and Australia. So I would suggest giving out your personal email address on air is not wise. Well, let's have a listen to Triple M from Friday.
So how many people have taken up these
this
spots?
Is a good question.
There's four so far, Chief.
So there's only two spots available?
It only opened last week, and they put their submissions
four
in.
Four people.
I've got 14.
Is Tim one of them?
It's Jared, Chief.
What did Tim, whatever his name is?
You can't help him.
You can't help him.
So you've got four enrolled.
Invite only.
When does the course start?
It starts on September 1st, Howard.
Who have you got?
What?
Who have you got? Who are the four?
I can't tell you that yet. I'll let you know the names when everybody.
So, Nate, you're a numbers man. If you spend $5,000 a month, you want a return on being part of Nathan.
$5,000 a quarter.
Sorry, Nathan Brown Academy. So, if you get through the academy NBA. And you get a gig as a sports broadcaster,
well, there's an understudy spot underneath me at the moment.
Really?
At Sportsbet. Yeah,
it's like the Celebrity Apprentice, where you get a job.
Is there a succession plan?
There's been a few coming and going.
How do people apply?
Nathan.brown at sportsbet.com.au.
Nathan.
What are you looking for?
Hey?
What are you looking for?
Some pizzazz. Someone who's very sharp, Howard. Yep. Somebody who's got some charisma.
Right.
Like a Tommy Brown type.
Somebody like me.
So the Nathan Brown Academy, what was the email again that you gave your email away on air? That was bold. That was a bold move, Nate. Yeah. You want to back over it or not? No.
Brownie.
Hey. I had about eight emails. I don't know. I just see you're in the moment, you're doing live radio, and for some reason I gave out my proper email.
There's a bit to unpack there.
Yeah, there is. Like, what are you going to unpack?
I didn't know that was coming up. Are you running a course on how to be a media operator?
How to be a brand ambassador.
As you know, with radio, actually, you guys probably don't know an AW, but we like to entertain for the hour and a half before, and somehow...
You're running your own course.
Das, your stupid mate Das and Howie and Damo decided to say that would I be interested in teaching some of these brand ambassadors, because one of the ones we had on was trying to get some life out of him. And I said, yeah, let's start an academy. And it just...
It's building momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, it built momentum from there. And they put the idea out there, and then I had to run with it. Well, you have to make good radio, hum. I couldn't just say, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, yeah, but you didn't have to give your email.
I made a mistake.
What have the emails said?
There was a few people who were interested in the academy.
What are you going to charge course?
$5,000 per quarter.
And are you going to?
That's what I put out there.
Are you going to guarantee them? So they were legitimate, do you reckon? Looking to join this academy? What's the first thing you're going to teach them? What are you going
to
teach them?
To talk to the camera
camera. Okay, say you're teaching me. I obviously don't need any help, but. Just say I needed help and I was in your academy.
So when I first helped you when you were trying to be an ambassador, and I said, Hummer, when you're looking at the camera, stop being so angry like you want to fight the camera. Remember I told you that?
You did tell me that.
He was that angry, it looked like he wanted to kill it.
I was reading. It was my very first screen test.
You're going to charge people $5,000 to learn how to look at the camera.
There's a lot of people who can't do it, Matt. There's a lot of people who can't do it.
All right, time to give some awards
out.
It's
just a bit of fun.
No wonder you're buying Porsches. Oh. You're getting $5,000.
How about this? So just on the porch, Richo, we just saw, before we went on air today, we saw Richo Brownie had car sales up.
He's looking up.
He is looking to buy a 2009 Porsche four-wheel drive, the
2009.
So he's not even forking out the actual big bucks. He just wants to look like
he just wants to drive a Porsche. No wonder you're putting these courses on.
Yeah, that's right.
No, pay for the car.
Oh, that's got me up. Oh. I didn't know that was coming. That wasn't bad enough. Well done.
All right, Richo, start with the let's have a look at the leaderboard now. For the best, the Bont on 15 just starting to pull away. Jeremy Cameron, 8. Chris Petrarca, 7. Darcy Parrish, 7. Dustin Martin, 6. While for the worst, you just think West Coast are going to be starting to pull away. West Coast on 18. Collingwood, 16. St Kilda, 16. Richmond, 9. Carlton, 6. Geelong, 6. Hawthorn, 6. The worst on votes have been a disgrace this year, gentlemen. They're just all teams.
Yeah, we've lost our nerve.
You've lost your flair.
There's been some ordinary teams. Best on first?
Yep.
I gave one to my man, my penalty taker, Nate. Jordan Dawson, 26, playing on a wing.
Yeah.
3 goals. Thought he was outstanding against the Dogs. Jack Steele, where's he in your Brownlow tracker?
He's coming hard. These last 4 games, he's got votes in every game.
Well, I've given him 2. He's just a great leader at the moment. 2 goals, 32. And Jaden Stevenson, career best game, 38 against the Eagles. Collingwood might be ruining that decision down the track.
Yeah. I gave one vote to St Kilda. I thought the performance against Brisbane, nobody expected them to do what they did. Even when they were 13 points up at 3-quarter time, everyone expected Brisbane to come back and win it in the last quarter, and the Saints got the job done. I gave 2 votes to Taylor Adams. It seems like every time Collingwood play well, or every time Collingwood are flying, Taylor Adams is winning the football and doing great things. Yeah. And 3 to North Melbourne. If you beat West Coast over there, and I think you gave me a stat that no side has ever beaten West Coast over there who have been below them on the ladder. So that is a very
15th.
Good effort.
West Coast have never lost to a team that's been below 15th on the ladder when they've been above them. So that was a big loss. So the worst, I've got to give the Tigers a 1 vote. They had 3 tackles in the last quarter. That'll make you happy, Hummer. Your
pigs might fly.
Your Richmond basher,
pigs
you.
Pigs might fly.
Still won 3 out of the last 4 flags. I'm pretty happy with that. The Crows kicked 2 goals, 9, their lowest score on Friday night against Essendon. And West Coast, for the reasons we just talked about, got 3.
I gave 1 vote to, now I like this guy, I like the way he plays, but I've never seen a worse kick in AFL history than Liam Stocker's. But I'm not giving it to Liam Stocker, I'm actually giving it to players who use Grippo.
Right.
So you could clearly see that he probably had Grippo, and he had the footy stuck to his hand and then went out. I don't understand. I never used it. Obviously, Matthew used it a lot because of marking it.
Richo wore a glove.
If you are a player that needs to be able to use the footy, I don't think you should be using Grippo. 2 votes to Kane Corns.
You're giving your mate one.
Yeah, that's okay. But very quickly jumped on Trent Cotchin and wants his career over. Trent Cotchin changed the culture of that football club. Yes, he's not in good form at the moment, nor are the Tigers. And we're very quick to write people off and say that they're no good anymore and they should be retiring. Trent Cotchin, I think, has got some tickets in the bank. And 3 votes to the Giants. I think there's a spot there in the 8 for the Giants
up
to take.
Grabs.
They lost Hawthorn.
They drew to North Melbourne.
And they lost to Gold Coast. So they don't deserve to be there at the moment.
They don't. And all right, let's dive straight in to the week's games. Now, a few weeks ago, you would not have thought this would be a top 8 clash. Fremantle versus Geelong. Fremantle $2.48, taking on Geelong very well backed. 80% of the cash, $1.54. Is there an upset brewing?
Could be.
I got them closer than that. I think Fremantle will give them a scare, but the Cats, for me, just win this one. But it'll be 3 goals, maybe, I think.
Yeah, it'll be close. It's at Optus Stadium, so the Dockers will be right there. I think the Cats want to be top 4 and it's a real tight race for top 4. I don't think they'll lose.
GWS versus Sydney. Giants $2.63, Sydney $1.49.
This is being played at Mars Stadium where there has never been a great spectacle of a game of AFL footy.
You're off at Mars.
The conditions just aren't conducive.
We've got the good folk at Ballarat that get a chance to watch.
It's a beautiful town, Ballarat.
It's a lovely town, but the stadium
property
is
prices.
It's like it is actually on Mars. Mm. It's sponsored by Mars Bar, but it's actually
Do you know why it's sponsored by Mars Bar?
No, you're from Devonport, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, no worries.
They make Mars bars in Ballarat.
You don't need to offend the people from Ballarat.
I'm not offending Ballarat. That stadium has been built
in. I'd be offended.
Yeah. They should have put the stadium
I'm
somewhere
from Bendigo
else.
I'm Bendigo and I'm offended.
Because it's like...
We don't like Ballarat.
Just compared
Bendigo.
Ballarat to Mars.
It's like it's the base camp of Mount Everest there at Mars Stadium.
Oh, jeez, you're doubling down.
It's cold and windy.
The poor people of Ballarat.
Kick them all there down.
Yeah.
It's just so... It won't be a great game, but Sydney will win.
Sydney will win.
Last game we're going to look at, St Kilda versus Port Adelaide. St Kilda in great form, $2. Port Adelaide, $1.84. Odds are a coin toss. The punters can't split them.
This shapes the 8.
Cash.
This one shapes the 8. If St Kilda play the way they played the last few weeks, they win. They actually win. Their defensive pressure's been outstanding. Highmore and Wilkie have been unbelievable in the back end, and they've been able to kick goals through King and Membry taking marks. So I think if they can come with that same pressure, it's just whether they relax and they feel like they're getting a little bit better. So it's all about St Kilda and how they come into the game. I think they're good enough to beat Port.
Port.
All right.
No worries. So I'm going to like to just a public apology on the behalf of Matthew Richardson to all the people at Ballarat.
Yep.
It's a beautiful town, Goldfields. They're helping out the AFL to keep the AFL season going, but our mate over here doesn't seem to think so.
All I'm saying is it's a lovely town. I've never seen a good game at Ballarat because of the conditions there. The wind, it's cold, and it just doesn't produce good games of footy. Okay. Nothing to do with Ballarat as a town.
You said Ballarat was like Mars, and then you said it's like the base camp of Everest.
Where the stadium is, you're not listening.
You know what you've done here?
What?
Like the guy that pumped you up the other day on Twitter and then gave you a clip. That's what you've done to Ballarat. You've tried to pump it up, and then you've given it a clip. You're a hypocrite as well.
I like Ballarat. I don't like the stadium.
Ooh, we've got a few Ballarat listeners as well. All right, let's finish up with some
most of our listeners from Ballarat.
Now, I'm not happy.
Why?
Because for the last 6 weeks, despite spending, contrary to your opinion, I spent a lot of time coming up with hypotheticals. Right. They're difficult to come up with.
Or as I like to call them, the hypotheticals.
Oh, we're going to roll that again. Yeah. I'll be real happy with that from last week. And I still don't know who gave it to you. So, do you know what I've done?
What?
I've just gone to a hypothetical website and I've just grabbed the top three hypotheticals there. Then. No, they won't be good. They're going to be crap. And then finally, once you have these crap ones, you'll understand the work that I put in and you'll be begging for mine to come back next week.
All right, off you go.
Let's go.
If you could travel, if you could time travel, would it be back or forward?
Back.
I like that. Yeah. Why, Nate?
I like it.
I would love to go back to the mid-70s. No mobile phones, no social media. You can actually, if you want to get away from things.
I reckon I'd go to the late 50s. Just before the 60s started, yeah.
Woodstock.
Before that.
You're stranded on an island and you have three items. What are those items?
Three items.
Yep.
A fridge full of cold beer.
Yep.
Some matches to light a fire. And some a box full of seeds to grow things to eat.
Box full of seeds. What are you going to grow?
Grow some
plants,
seeds.
Various seeds.
Right. What sort of seeds?
Oh, some carrots, some veggies, some spuds.
Right.
And did you name four then?
What?
Did you do four?
No. Oh. Three things: seeds, fridge of beer, and matches to light a fire.
Fridge of beer and beer.
Yeah. Endless fridge of beer.
Oh.
Yeah.
What did you take?
Food, water, and a fire.
Yeah, that's probably a bit more sensible. That was a crap one, wasn't it?
No, it was all right.
It's all right.
Bit Your house help. Is on fire. Your house is on fire. What item do you save?
Well, you...
Not your kids. Your family's all out. Right. They're away.
Oh, there, we've got them out.
They're in Ballarat.
I'd save my mobile phone because it's got a lot of codes on there. And you know, you're into your crypto, Nathan. I cannot afford to lose a few of the codes that I've got.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I shouldn't have probably had them on my phone.
Very good one. I've got an envelope that I'd like to get out. I've also got...
What's in that?
Various things.
How much?
Various things. And I'd also... I've got a hard drive that I need to get out to for the same reason.
What's in the envelope?
I'd probably get...
How much is in there at the
moment? What's in the envelope?
I'd probably get my new Alexander McQueen boots.
Is that what
you...
Oh, is that envelope what you're going to purchase your 2009 Porsche with?
Geez, don't be caught with that car with that cash in it. The cops will be asking the questions.
What are they worth now, that 2009 Porsche?
It's about $49.
So now can you understand that those actual hypotheticals...
They were good. They were great.
They were better than yours.
I've put one of mine in.
Righto.
If everyone on the world lost 1 kilo...
On the world?
In the world, 7 billion people. Yeah. If everyone lost 1 kilo, would the world be 7 billion kilos lighter?
Well, it would be.
Yes.
Pretty make...
Well, where's the that weight go?
Hey?
Where does it go?
Well, clearly it would be lighter if you put the world on some scales.
If it's not going anywhere, it can't...
So at one point the world weighs however many billion kilos and then you take away kilo, so then it weighs that. It doesn't go anywhere.
It's basic
math. Well, it can't just disappear.
It can. That's what weight does.
It goes somewhere else, doesn't it?
Basic math.
It doesn't...
I reckon that... It would not change.
No, you're wrong.
So did you like that one better?
That was all right.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks, Hummer.
All right, that's going to do us this week, please. We've got a lot of listeners, I say it every week, that are listening but not subscribing. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some good reviews, because the top three at the moment are all bashing me. I've got a I don't have a very thick skin and it hurts, Richo.
And don't forget you can sign up for Nate's course.
Yep, $5,000. Good luck. Gamble responsibly.